In this episode, we're talking all about branding and how some of the most impactful organizations see branding beyond logos, catchy taglines, and websites, and use it as a central organizing and operating idea of their business. Let's get started.
Brand has to be one of the most misunderstood or misdefined terms or business terms maybe out there. You know, I don't think I've come across too many people that talk about it as something more than either a logo or a slogan. Most people you say we do brand strategy or if we're, you know, talking to a potential client and saying we'd love to talk to you about brand strategy work, instantly they go, oh no, we redid our logo, you know, X amount of time ago. We did a logo last year. And it's like, it's so often confused with just like the visual polish, the visual flash. That's what people think brand is. Brand is just the slick stuff. It's the logo. It's the tagline. Maybe some people take it as far as to talk about their quote unquote branding, right, which then is like all of their imagery, all of their look, which sure, that all is a part of your brand, but it is, that's what we typically hear from folks is that they look at brand, they look at it just as that sort of paint, that veneer.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate because as long as it's something that is perceived as just this external thing, you miss so much of the business value from it, right? And you miss how brands can actually guide decision making, how it can, you know, help you hire the right people. You know, so there's so much more business value that comes when you expand on that definition of brand.
Yeah, I think if you just look at it as just a logo, that's a one-time kind of in and out and done, yeah, sort of experience. So I think for a lot of folks, when they think brand, they think it's something that they invest in once they have a group of creatives come in and set the brand, and then they're done. And that's all they have to do. But they're not really looking at any way to have it actually affect the organization. I think that's where you get into, you know, trouble with organizations that say they're one thing but act another way. And that'll impact staff, that'll impact customers, that starts to get really, really tricky.
One of the ways that we deal with this with our clients is that we challenge them to think about brand as a GPS, not as a logo. You know, and what it does is that resets their thinking about this kind of work. If you're doing it right, a brand should act as a guidance system for the entire organization. Right. And then it also has implications for how it guides your customer.
Yeah. Another thing I've heard us say that I think, along with looking at brand as a GPS, that I think really unlocks or at least gets people to sit up and listen is the idea that a good brand makes insiders believe and outsiders buy. I think that's really cool to think that it could do both. It's really memorable. It's just a simple little thought. But if challenging folks and going, does your brand do that? Most people aren't going to be able to answer that and say, yeah,
right.
They're going to go, well, maybe it helps people buy because it's our logo or it's our look. It's our, you know, our phrase that we use. But I rarely see companies that have any sort of thoughts on what it does to insiders.
And that's the piece that's really unfortunate, because we have seen with a number of our clients how much it affects the teams inside. And I know we keep hitting on this. You know, we've worked with companies that maybe weren't so marketing heavy and kind of ignore and or belittle the idea of branding. And yet when they experienced it, to see their people inspired, to see their people focused, to see some purpose behind their communication, everything gets better. And so that's why we say there is massive business implications to brand. Brand is business and business is brand.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a marketer, you know, obviously I get most excited about you know, financial result, about customer level results, about seeing customers act and get interested in a product. But these days I feel like more and more I get fired up by seeing what happens internally. I think that's what so many folks don't realize, and seeing not just the direct people we work with, not just the direct, you know, leadership or anything like that, but seeing an organization, you know, really have that vision for where they're going and having that purpose for why they exist is really, really cool and really powerful. And seeing it up and down the ranks, we've had clients where it's not just the management team that's seeing this stuff. We have clients that work in very, you know, rough construction type of industries, manufacturing industries, and seeing folks from, you know, the quote unquote front lines come up and go, you know, wow, that really hit me. That really affected me. That big idea or that direction, that whatever it is that we're showing them that's related to where the organization is headed, when that starts to hit folks, you know, up and down the ranks, that really shows that it's, you know, it's going to have an effect and it's going to actually change things within an organization.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into this idea of GPS because there are so many other benefits. One of the other benefits is how it helps influence decision-making in an organization. I mean, nobody would think that doing brand work would help you make a decision internally. And yet so many times it can help break a tie, bring perspective, or help the organization make better decisions. For example, oftentimes organizations that don't have a clear brand become very preference-based. And when you have a strong brand, you understand your values. You become more values-based. In a world where you become more preference-based over values, it's bound to become a mess at some point. Someone saying, I like green. The other person saying, I like blue. Someone else saying, I think it needs to be red. Someone in those situations always becomes a tiebreaker, right? Or worse, people just go off and do whatever they want to do. Next thing you know, there's no consistency. There's no cohesion. The tone of how one piece of marketing materials communicated, you know, sounds one way, and then something else sounds a different way. Like, there's just no consistency. When you have a really strong brand, it helps the organization be values-based. And so it becomes less about anyone's individual preference.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things where it's not, you know, a lot of the stuff we're saying, we're talking about the brand affecting how people feel and their outlook and their vision on their place in a company. And I think a lot of folks might go, yeah, that's kind of soft. It's kind of touchy-feely. But you start talking about this idea, this like values versus preferences, and all of a sudden it's a lot more than just feelings and emotions. It's actually getting stuff done. Yeah. When you can have people making decisions with some sort of filter or some sort of guidance that's coming from the brand that is recognized and understood across all levels and across the entire organization, now things are getting done faster. They're getting done better. They're getting done in line. As we often tell clients, smaller clients, you know, it's like the owner is in the room constantly. No matter where you are, no matter how distributed you are, the owner is in there having a hand in that conversation. That's powerful. That's not just touchy-feely, how the brand makes me feel and our values sort of stuff. Like, those are important, but this is stuff that really starts to change how stuff gets done.
That's so good. Companies that get this, that see brand as a GPS, like Starbucks, Zappos, Amazon in particular, they see brand as the central guiding idea of the business. Amazon, for example, wants to be the most customer-centric company in the world. Well, when you think about that, that helps everybody have a filter by which they can make decisions. Do we buy this? Well, does this help us be more customer-centric? Yes or no? Should we go invest in these new technologies? Will this improve how we become more customer-centric? Having that has allowed these companies to move quickly and at a velocity that makes it really hard for the competition to keep up. So it's incredibly beneficial when you can use your brand as a way to help you make decisions.
You know, a lot of companies that are going after somewhat like purpose-driven branding and trying to really stand up for some sort of cause, but ones that are doing that very superficially, that are riding a wave of what's being talked about right now in the media and coming out with some sort of flashy ad that does that, but they haven't done anything at a brand level to change how they operate. Mm. I was reading something about, you know, Gillette. They had a great one time, at least, you know, campaign or commercial that came out kind of in line with a lot of the Me Too movement and that sort of stuff. But right away they get backlash where people go, yeah, but you charge more for your women's razors. Yeah. Like when you don't align those values to something that actually costs you something or actually causes you to change something as an organization, the consumer, especially these days, sees right through that. And it's super dangerous. So having it, really looking at the brand as something that's guiding and filtering decisions and helping you to make decisions, it's so critical if you're going to try to go out on that, you know, that level of a purpose.
Yeah, that's super good. So I want to dive deeper into, you know, what things make up a brand, because we've obviously talked about it having to be like a GPS. And so I think people probably get how it can start to guide the entire organization. But what are the actual building blocks? We look at things like the core purpose, you know, attributes of the organization. We look at value propositions. We look at the audience and the customer, you know, the ideal customer. We look at big ideas. We look at big, hairy, audacious goals. We look at a few different things that I think are really important inputs that make up the brand. We're not necessarily looking at websites, colors, logos just yet. Those things, again, are expressions, but just more fundamental to that. We look at the kinds of things that will inform all the creative stuff. If you don't know your attributes, for example, like, are you buttoned up or are you fun and approachable and accessible? You know, these are the kinds of attributes that are really important to try to, these are the kinds of qualities that are really important to try to get your head wrapped around and put into, you know, this brand brief, if you will, so that people know what you're all about. Now, we could do a whole episode on what goes into a brand brief, and maybe we should, but I want to talk a little bit about attributes and why they're so important.
Attributes, you know, even let's just take a really simple example of like, of copywriting and design. Let's say you were putting together, not even an ad, you're putting together a email newsletter, yeah, email announcement for a company. Without attributes, how do you know what type of language to use? Are we a company that uses, you know, a lot of jargon? Are we a company that talks really technical? Or are we a company that's really friendly and down to earth? Do we tell jokes? How do we talk? Without attributes, I don't know. Are we funny, lighthearted, serious, buttoned up, professional? Same thing with design. I'm someone on the team. I'm trying to find an image to put in this email announcement. Again, is it professional? Is it buttoned up? Is it a guy in a suit? Is it sort of funny? Without attributes, it's really hard to know. And that's just a really simple example. But look at that and start thinking about all the different decisions that get made at an organization where none of those exist. There's no way for anyone to really know how we think about the way we look, feel, act, speak, walk, and talk.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, like if you consider the luxury car market, you know, you've got companies like Volvo and Mercedes and BMW, and each of them have identified attributes that really set them apart. Volvo, for example, really doubled down on this idea of safety, you know, and even though they were luxury, they kind of hung their hat on the idea of safety, and that drove a lot of decision making for that organization for a long time. Now, whether that continues in the future, only time will tell, but you can see those attributes at work.
And that gets back to, you know, you were just saying about the, you know, what a brand is. And I have to quote Marty Neumeier in saying, a brand isn't what you say it is, it's what your customer says it is. Yeah. I think that when you look at it in the context of what we're saying right now about the brand guiding decisions, being that GPS, being operationalized in a company and not just the slick veneer. If it's just a slick veneer, it's what you say it is. Yeah. That's not going to work. But if you think about it as being what they say it is, what the customer says it is, that's why all this is so important. Because if you're not living it out, and if you're not giving your team, more importantly, a way to live it out, giving them some sort of guidepost that says, this is how we act, this is how we talk, this is how we make decisions, this is how we invest, yeah, this is what we care about, mm-hmm, and then it's really hard for your company to act the way it says it is. And therefore, it's really hard for your customer to understand what it is you're trying to be.
I'm so glad you said that, man, because when we look at the organizations that are crushing it, I mean, just take Amazon, for example. You know, Amazon doesn't have the most beautiful technology or software per se, but you can see how the brand is guiding even the new initiatives that they're doing, whether they're looking at drones or blimps or, you know, investing in different types of technologies. All of those things are serving this central idea of making it easier for the customer to buy what they're looking for. There's that whole customer-centric brand going to work again. Now, here's the thing that's really important to keep in mind. All of this is going to cost you something. You know, like there is an investment and a discipline that happens. Organizations do have to stop long enough to really make this a priority, which is so funny how much of a challenge it is for many. It is going to cost you something, but in the end, it always pays off.
You know, one of the, look at a classic example, I guess classic because it's a few years old now, but with REI,
yeah,
you know, having they, this is such a great example of having a brand really guide the decisions that, is, that an organization is making and actually affect them, affect their bottom line, but ultimately build the brand, ultimately really prop up what the brand is standing for. Obviously Black Friday, you know, the biggest retail sales day of the year, and REI a few years ago, and they're still doing it to this day. They're still doing it, which says it was not just a campaign. It was not just a little veneer sort of polish. But REI decides to close their doors with a campaign about opt outside. They ran TV ads, print ads, everything that basically said, we're all about getting outside.
Yeah.
So on Black Friday, we're closing our doors so that our team members can do that, so that you can go do that and get out of our store, and so you can be outside. And that's just, I mean, talk about bold, but talk about something that that really like catalyzes your, not only your team, now you're giving these people time off on one of the worst days to work in retail. I've been there.
It's the biggest retail day of the year.
It's a horrible day to work. Yeah. It's right after a holiday. It's madness, but it's also extremely profitable or at least revenue generating for these companies. And here they are shutting their doors. And look at what it does to your customer base. Here they are agreeing with that probably and going, yeah, you're right, REI. Like I'm not going to go anywhere. Like they probably affected sales, not only at their own stores, but at others, and telling folks, get outside, go for a hike, do something else. And that is brand at its finest.
Yeah. I pulled up some document here on that little case study. Most of the other retailers in competition, a lot of the analysts considered this to be retail suicide for these guys. And a digital analytics company, SimilarWeb, reported that they experienced a 10% bump in online traffic on Thanksgiving and a 26% rise in sales on Black Friday. And so, you know, then they had about 1.4 million people who engaged with the hashtag opt outside, you know, so it just created incredible virality there around this. And then, you know, I think they had close to 1 million new people subscribe, you know, to the like REI subscription. So incredibly effective for them, and just goes to show that, you know, yes, it will cost you something. It cost REI, you know, what could have been a loss in potential revenue. It could have cost them, you know, some negative press. There was some that was out there, but in the end, the customer rewarded them for it.
And it's so interesting to think about, just on some of those stats you're reading, I'm thinking about how they've done such a great job of being so, let's just assume it's true to themselves, but really what it comes down to is aligning their values with the values of their customer.
Right.
So their customer is seeing themselves. Their customer is really wanting to wave the REI flag and go, I'm going to go on a hike and I'm going to post with a hashtag opt outside because it represents how I think and feel. And I would imagine that a lot of those people would have been shopping otherwise, but REI said no. And they believe so strongly in the values of that organization. And they're so much members of that tribe that they're out there banging that drum for them. Like that is being so in tune with what really resonates and what's really true to your audience.
Oh yeah. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, you couldn't pay for that kind of marketing force, right? You couldn't pay for that many people to essentially be your marketers, communicating your values, communicating the passion, enthusiasm for the outdoors. I mean, if you gave me my choice, you know, maybe they have 40 people, 100 people, even if they had 400 people in their marketing department, in their corporate marketing department, I would take the millions of people that you've basically empowered and you have armed them with a message and a story. I would take the millions of people, obviously, armed with that story out there than, you know, 40, 100 or 400 people in-house trying to create the same level of impact. That's the power of a brand.
So let's go back real quick and just sort of, I feel like we've hit on a lot of different things and gotten probably fired up on a lot of different angles.
I'm fired up right now. Let me get another glass of wine.
That's what happens when we start talking about what brand is and what's not. It gets us all rowdy. But so let's go back real quick and just, I think in some of our own words, let's try to redefine a bit of what a brand actually is and what it does. We talked a lot about what it's not. It's not this veneer. It's not just your logo. It's not just your imagery. Yeah. It's not slogans and taglines. It's not any of that. First and foremost, a brand provides a GPS for an organization.
Mm-hmm. When done right, yes.
When done right, when it's more than just, when we're thinking about more than just the veneer, more than just how we're going to market ourselves, it truly is a GPS and ensures that everybody is moving towards the same future destination and that we are making decisions very aligned as an organization. So one, a good brand creates that GPS for the organization. Two, it creates a memorable story. Human beings, we're wired for story. We don't make decisions rationally. You know, that's without story, we really can't remember. So if all you're doing is touting features and benefits and different little nuances of your product or service, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. But when you attach it to a meaningful story, now I've got something to really remember. And better yet, when you prove that, when you live that out in your service and in your experience and in your product or whatever it may be, now it connects to the story that I have and really rounds it out.
Love that.
I think the other piece that we hit on, just to kind of round out some of the points, I guess I'll call this point number three of what a brand really does, is it helps an organization make decisions by values instead of preferences.
Mm-hmm.
We touched on that, but I think that to me is one of the ones that really starts to affect the analyst, the finance person in the room,
yeah,
who might be looking at brand as more of just sort of a cost house or of a cost center, and not looking at it as something that's really going to help improve the bottom line. But let's face it, when people are getting stuff done faster and more in line with what the organization wants, we're not wasting time, we're not wasting money, we're moving faster. And then I think one more that we hit on, just because I see it as kind of a fourth, it's sort of, if anything, is kind of a exclamation point to these three, is that a good brand makes outsiders buy and insiders believe. That to me, I think, really is just a simple little frame of reference of what a good brand is doing. Again, look at REI. Let's just go back to that for a second. That's exactly what they did. Having a brand that guides that sort of decision-making to close your doors on Black Friday, outsiders are buying, as we saw. The stats show they're buying. Not only do they buy the idea, they're buying the product. And now they're even more fired up as a tribe for what REI has to stand for. And did it make insiders believe? I would assume so. Yeah. Letting me get to sleep in on the day after Thanksgiving, not have to work because my company puts, you know, being outside over profits, over being open on this busiest shopping day of the year. Like, you better believe the insiders are believing about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this. So all of this can be distilled down to this idea that when you do brand right, when your brand strategy is happening and it's, when you do brand correctly, it acts as a GPS that guides your internal staff as well as your customer. When you really do that, you have the potential of acquiring an asset or building an asset that never depreciates. The brand itself does so much of the heavy lifting. And that's what we're so passionate about trying to convey. Now you can see why it becomes almost frustrating when people see it only as a logo or some function of marketing. Marketing is a function of branding. So, questions out to you guys. Do you feel like you have a brand that is able to guide your people from all aspects of the organization, from top to bottom? Is there enough clarity in who you are and what you're trying to do and who you're trying to serve that decisions can be made in a clear and cohesive way, or at least pretty clear and cohesive way, and that aligns with the brand? If not, there's room to make those improvements. And when you make those improvements, there's massive business implications to those. That's how companies today take new ground. So until next time, this is CJ and Dustin at Bamboo Creative signing off. See ya.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to the Take New Ground podcast. Do us a favor and subscribe. That way you don't miss any future episodes. Also, we appreciate and read every review, so thank you in advance if you leave us one. To learn more about us, check out bamboocreative.com. See you next time.